Brad Locke.
And I'm Dalton Milton.
And you're listening to Prep Rally, a podcast covering high school sports in Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by the Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Hey, we're back. After a week off.
Yeah, finally.
A week off on the podcast, not a week off.
It definitely was not a week off.
No, it wasn't. We did a lot of stuff down there in Pearl, and well, last week also, I was in Starkville, you were in Hattiesburg, you were gone for almost 2 weeks from your house.
Mm-hmm. I was gone for a good 11 days, I think. And, yeah. Who knows? Yeah, I'm just glad I didn't get robbed, right?
Yeah, right. welcome back, everybody. Glad to be with you on this Wednesday, May 22nd. I think. Kept thinking yesterday was Friday for some reason. Then I found out it was Tuesday, and that was kind of disappointing.
I honestly have no idea what any day is, and it's going just going to get better for me right here in the next week.
It can't get any worse now that we're done with baseball, and softball, and the playoffs getting all jacked up by the rain. But, hey, we got through it. Got some champions crowned, several teams from this area winning state titles. So we'll talk about that. That'll be the main topic of conversation. Got some coaching moves to discuss as well. Got a lot of that going on this time of year. Thanks for joining us, Prep Rally. Just a reminder, you can find it in iTunes, any of your podcast apps, or online at preprally.djournal.com. And be sure to follow us on Twitter at djournalpreps. Start with the baseball championships. Dalton and Pearl last week. They had to push the schedule back a little bit. Couldn't start till Wednesday, but they got it all in by Saturday. We had, four teams down there, and three of them won.
That's pretty good.
Not bad. Lafayette losing in 5A to a very good West Jones team. Otherwise, we had North Pontotoc winning in 3A, Calhoun City in 2A, Smithville in 1A. Let's start with North, Dalton. First state title for the Vikings. You know what? It really wasn't much in question. They kind of dominated, didn't they?
Yeah, it was very, very dominant. I think they won game one in six innings, run ruled them, McGee.
Yep.
12-2, and then came out on Thursday. So they played Wednesday and Thursday.
Yes, they did.
Came out and won game two, 9-1. They just, absolute domination. That's about all you could say from it. I don't think they struck out one time at the plate. They scored, 21 runs and didn't strike out once.
Wow, that's impressive.
Their two pitchers, Jake Reeder and James Clay McGregor, both threw complete games. If I remember correctly, there wasn't too many fielding errors either. So
right.
It's just kind of like they just really cruised.
And Ty Robertson, man, he was good all year, but he had a breakout that game one, six RBIs, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And then it was him that almost hit the home run, went off the second level of the fence. At Trustmark Park, which is, that's a minor league double-A ballpark. So I think it's 335 down the lines and, 402 to center?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, and so
people are going to find out eventually that he's good at baseball.
That's exactly what Chad Anthony said. Left-handed swinging outfielder. He's good. He's fast, too.
I first saw him last year, I think, whenever they were playing Houston in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a triple and a diving catch. And I was like, well, who did this kid come from? He's just a freshman. And all of a sudden, I think every game I've seen him play this year, he's gone off. You know how that works. You know, certain kids go off every single time that you watch him or something.
Exactly.
He's that kid for me this year in baseball.
Yeah. And he bats cleanup, doesn't he? I think so. Yeah, he's not. I think he had four home runs this year, but he showed his power. I think he had another ball that almost went out. I think it went foul, maybe. I forget. But he hit a couple balls deep in that park. So he's not a big guy either.
Yeah, he hit a home run in the Houston game three that I covered this year. So
yeah. So North Pontotoc, Coach Chad Anthony winning the first title there. You had a nice little story on Corley Hooper, by the way, going out a winner. Of course, North got down there. Was it the last 2 years?
Yeah, it was last year and this year.
Yeah. And they lost last year. But Corley, of course, he's come through some. He's had to fight off some injury issues. He couldn't pitch in the playoffs this year. Couldn't last year because he had, I think it was a leg injury last year, and this year was a UCL, which is kind of in your elbow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So he played first base, which is his other position. But still, even though he couldn't pitch, he's a big part of that team.
Yeah, he gave me some good stuff on winning it with his twin brother right there. Because Hence Hooper plays second base, he plays first base. So they've been right there next to each other for years and. he gave me some nice stuff about them two being best friends and winning right next to each other and stuff. So
yeah, it's pretty neat. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So congrats to North Pontotoc. Calhoun City also winning in 2A. You know, interesting situation with the Wildcats. They got finished. You know, they played their semifinal series early before the rain got in that Tuesday and Wednesday a couple of weeks ago. So they had to just kind of wait around and were not able to play until the next Wednesday. So they had a whole week off. But they didn't find out till like the day before that they were going to play the first game of the day at 10 a.m. And they didn't know their opponent right away. So they ended up taking on a very good Taylorsville team, which is a consistently good team. And they dropped game one and just, I mean, they got hammered in game one. Just did not look like themselves. And you're like, okay, a little bit surprising.
Yeah, I think they only had four or five hits that game. Just made a couple errors, and Taylorsville looked really, really good.
They sure did. And then Calhoun City got a day off, mm-hmm. and went and took some batting practice. I mean, they had their regular practice at Northwest Rankin, but they really focused on hitting the ball. And then they came out the next two games and really hit the ball, winning by scores of 10-3 and 14-4.
Yeah,
no doubt there.
Yeah, I think they had 13 hits and then 14 hits right there. So 27 hits over the last 2 days after only getting four or five or whatever it was in that first game. And
We knew that team could hit. It was kind of unusual that they didn't that first game. Mm-hmm. Those are kind of weird circumstances there.
Yeah, they came out game two and game three and it was about as dominant as North Pontotoc was right there. You know, they just came out and they were just. Everything they were doing was worked, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
They were bunting, they were hitting deep balls, they were hitting singles, doubles, whatever they needed to do, they were doing, and they just got, you know, they got some pretty good, you know, pitching performances as well. So.
Yeah, Tayshawn Corbett did a great job on the mound and at the plate in that game three, because he got the start in game mm-hmm. three on the mound and pitched, what was it, six innings?
He pitched six innings, and then, yeah, and he got pulled with... I think he got two. I don't remember what happened in the seventh inning, but he got pulled in the seventh, and somebody came out and closed it up.
Yeah, at that point, it didn't matter. He's like Robertson. He's a sophomore. He's a lefty too, isn't he?
Mm-hmm, he is.
I'm actually got a column I'm writing for this week for Friday. I'm going to talk a little bit about those two because they're two up and comers.
Mm-hmm. Really, really talented kids. He had two triples in the game three. He hit two triples over the center fielder's head. And then he also had two deep balls on the warning track in right field. So on normal size ballpark, he walks out of that game with four home runs.
Jeez.
He just had a power stroke that day. He was just crushing the ball.
And he looks like someone who can hit it out too. He's mm-hmm. he's built pretty good. And again, he's just a sophomore. Mm-hmm. So he's still a bit of a raw talent, I think, especially on the mound. I saw him earlier this season against Baldwin, and he played pretty well. But, you know, his coach, Josh Miller, was like, yeah, you know, he's just – Man, when he really gets it, he's going to be really good. And so I look out for him and Robertson to be really good these next couple of years. First title for Calhoun City, by the way, and its first trip to the state finals.
One for one. Can't ask much better than that.
And then finally, Smithville in 1A reaching the finals for the third consecutive year. Now, they won it before. They won it back in 2014, but had not won it under Jamie Russell. And Jamie, in his third year as coach, takes them back to the finals for the third straight year. And this time they do get it done. And so Smithville, they got the sweep there of, who was it they played? Stringer.
Mm-hmm.
Two close games, though. 4-2 and 1-0 were the final scores. And no surprise, Jared Johnson had a big hand in both of those games. On the mound in game one, and then in game two, he accounted for the game's only run with a solo home run over the left field fence.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we've talked a lot about Jared on this show, and he's been in the paper because, you know, he's one of the best players in the area and getting scouted heavily by colleges and major league teams. And so kind of a fitting that he goes out that way. Game one, Dalton, I remember they were playing, like I said, they're playing Stringer, really good team. He gives up two hits in the first inning and two runs. And I'm thinking, wow, could be a rough day for Jared, at least relatively speaking, because he's not given up more than two hits in a game all season.
Mm-hmm.
And he gives up two in the first inning. I'm like, well, I guess that stat is going to fall by the wayside. But then he just threw no-hit ball for the next six mm-hmm. innings, and
that was it. Two hits. You know?
Still allowed just two hits.
That was hit 14 and 15 he's allowed on the season or something like that.
Yeah,
some crazy number like that.
I think he's only given up 15 now.
Yeah, and then that game two with them clinched, that was a good game.
And Lane Williams, props to him on the mound for Smithville that game. Because we've talked before, and you know, I've said it, Dalton, you know, that Smithville's pitching depth could be an issue. Mm-hmm. I think anybody with Smithville would probably have said that because it's shown up at times to be an issue. But Lane Williams pitched the game of his life, and all you needed was that Jared Johnson home run.
Yeah, he did pitch a great game. I think he went 6 2/3. He also got a lot of help from his defense there.
That's true. Oh, yeah. The center fielder, Todd Kelly.
Mm-hmm. He made two great plays, one sliding in deep left center field, one diving, coming kind of running up towards the second base area, and
right.
doubled up the runner at second. Then they made, you know, Tucker Hood, I think, over at third base, made a really good play in foul territory. They made a good play on a relay and just
threw a guy out at home, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
yeah.
They just defensively, that was, you know, that's the best they could have played defensively. They made no mistakes besides, I think, one error in the outfield, and it resulted in nothing. So,
and that was a questionable error mm-hmm. hit call. I think he was kind of diving for the ball. But, yeah, great defense there by Smithville. So, congrats to the Seminoles and Jamie Russell for winning a state title. Let's talk softball real quick, Dalton. We had two teams winning state titles down in Hattiesburg once they finally got to playing. Vardaman in 1A and South Pontotoc in 3A. Vardaman beating Smithville, so we had an area-on-area matchup there, and then South Pontotoc beating Choctaw Central. You saw some good softball down there.
Yeah, the South Pontotoc-Choctaw Central series was really, really good.
Yeah.
The Vardaman-Smithville one was, you know, Vardaman was really good. You know, I'm not trying to take anything away from Smithville. You know, they made it to the state championship. They were a great team, but Vardaman was – you know, they were elite. You know,
yeah, I saw them late in the season beat South Pontotoc. Now, it was a late season non-division game, and mm-hmm. South didn't even have its ace, Allison Harrison, out there to start. But still, that team can hit the ball as yeah. well as anybody I've seen this year.
They outscored Smithville, was it 26-5 in two games right there? Run ruled them both times, I think. Or one of them might have gone to seven innings, I'm not sure. But, you know, they just they were so good. They just hit the ball like crazy. They had a couple – they had – multiple home runs by multiple players.
Yeah.
And just,
yeah.
Once they got swinging, they couldn't be stopped. You know, just everything was working for them.
Yeah. First state title for both of those programs. So Josh Hegwood, the coach at Vardaman, and Adam Patterson, the coach at South Pontotoc. And I got to see both of them play this year, and both, I'm not surprised in either case, mm-hmm. that those teams ended up winning. And, you know, both of those teams, especially Vardaman, I think, has a good bit coming back.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Maddie Terrell. She was an eighth really grader.
She hit a walk-off. She hit the walk-off home run in that game, in game two, to win it.
When some kids swing and hit a ball, is this something different about the way it comes off the bat?
Mm-hmm.
And she's one of those. I saw her go deep against South Pontotoc, and you can tell. And she's a special talent.
She's as good at the plate as, you know, Allison Harrison is good on the mound for South Pontotoc. And,
right.
They end up winning their series in three games. They won game one, I'm not sure, 7-6 in nine innings.
Yeah.
They were down 4-1, I think, going with two outs in the seventh, bases clearing triple.
Yes.
She
Was it Maddie Pilcher?
Or Rebecca Pilcher.
Rebecca Pilcher. Pilcher, yes.
Bases clearing triple. She gets thrown out trying to stretch out to home for a walk-off, and then all of a sudden they win an extra inning 7-6, and then game two they actually got no hit. And almost won.
Yeah, it was what, 3-2 or something?
Mm-hmm. And it was, 3-2 in nine innings.
Jeez.
They almost won 3-2 without getting a hit, I think, is what it was.
Crazy.
Yeah, and then game three, they won 3-1. They just got some timely hits, and Allison Harrison shut them down. You know?
Yeah.
It was really big for them to come back and kind of rebound from getting no hit that morning in nine innings and then come out. I don't think they had a hit for – I had the stat. I don't remember what it was. It was like 11 2/3 or 12 2/3 innings straight. They didn't have a single hit, and then all of a sudden they just came through with some timely ones and got the win.
Yeah, yeah. All right. So congrats to those teams for winning softball titles. Got some coaching news to talk about over at Myrtle. Of course, you know, it's got that fledgling football program headed up by Justin Hollis. He arrived there as an assistant principal in 2013 after being head football coach at Vardaman. And then he was like, you know what, I think Myrtle can do football. And we've written about that at length. And they got going in 2016, had their first varsity season last year, went 7-1, and now Justin is moving on. He is going back into a full-time administration as principal at Nettleton High School. They made that official Tuesday night. And I don't know, kind of maybe a little surprising that he's leaving at this point. Just got the program off the ground, but he did tell me that becoming a principal is something he's really wanted to do for a long time. Really good situation for his family, so it's hard to blame him. And really, he leaves Myrtle in a good place there, Dalton. I mean, talk about a program rising quickly. Now, mm-hmm. They haven't played division schedule yet. They'll be a full-fledged member this fall. Myrtle, they've got a lot of good young talent, good coaching staff, a lot of support from the community and the school. So, man, I think Justin leaves them in a pretty good situation.
Yeah, and I can't blame him for that. You know, he cares a lot about the kids, and he's going to go, and he gets to Nettleton. There's more. He gets to work with them more in a different role, but it's about the kids.
Yeah, exactly. And you see a lot of coaches go into administration. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm sure for one thing, the pay is probably better.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
I'm guessing. I don't know.
I would imagine so.
And then also over at Hamilton, looking for a football coach there after Josh Beatty left to go to Nettleton as an assistant coach there for Ken Topps. Hamilton has hired Wade Pierce, was at Neshoba Central for 7 years, the offensive coordinator there. And that's actually his alma mater, and that's the only place he's coached until now. So this will be his first head coaching job, and he'll bring kind of that double wing offense to Hamilton that Neshoba's used the last couple of years. They used it to great effect last year. Had one kid rush for almost 2,000 yards, another rush for almost 1,500, and I think they averaged about 372 rushing yards mm-hmm. per game. Went 10-3, and Neshoba's usually pretty good football team. Now Hamilton, he's got a challenge because he's in that division 2-1A with Smithville and Oklahoma and all them. So Hamilton went 1-10 last year. So it's a rebuilding project,
yeah,
which is tough enough. But also it's your first year as head coach. You can win in Hamilton. It's been done. You can win some games there, but, you never know. I mean, mm-hmm. get the right coach in the right situation. Something good might happen.
Yeah. Something fresh there. You know, who knows? Anything could happen.
Time now for this week's shout out, and Dalton, this one goes to our basketball players of the year, Garabeth Self and Jacoria Stanfield. Garabeth has signed with Louisiana Monroe. Originally, she signed with ICC. Mm-hmm. Then I guess this offer from ULM came along, and that's a Division I program, and it's kind of hard to pass that up. And so Garabeth, our girls' player of the year from Ingemar, is going to be a Warhawk, which mm-hmm. will make Parrish Alford happy.
Right.
It's his alma mater.
Yeah, I can't blame her there. I would pick a D1 over a JUCO too, I'm sure.
Yeah. And ICC's got a pretty got a really good women's basketball program, but yeah, it's hard not to jump at that D1 offer. And then Jacoria Stanfield from Oklahoma, our boys player of the year, has signed with Pearl River Community College. And this is a kid, Dalton, that he's small. He's 5'8" with his shoes on.
Yeah.
And so I don't know. I mean, maybe if he has a good couple of years at Pearl River, he can go play at a senior college somewhere. Now, yeah. I don't know if it's going to be D1 because a lot of coaches at that level will
the size will be an issue.
Dismiss him with the size. And, that's certainly something important, but he does play at the rim.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he's a great player, and he's going to, imagine he'll get some looks there because, Pearl River, I think they finished the season ranked 16th in the nation. They won the state tournament. They had a great season. They end up going and playing the national tournament. So I'm sure there's a lot of guys looking at them,
Yeah.
Cam Smith from Oklahoma. Yeah, he's there. I think CJ Brim just graduated from there.
Yep,
so,
Shannon.
There's a couple area players that have gone there and succeeded, and they're doing well there. So
yeah, exactly.
Maybe he can do the same.
So congrats to Jacorius and Garabeth. Moving on to the next level there in basketball. Let's wrap it up with our athletes of the week. I guess this will be the last one we do of these until the fall, Dalton, because all the seasons are over. Spring seasons are done, so this will be the last Athletes of the Week.
We can do some Junior Coke Tour Athletes of the Week.
I guess we could. We do have that going on. We got a Legion Ball happening soon, American Legion Baseball. Female Athlete of the Week is Sarah Wooten, a junior for Vardaman, in that series sweep of Smithville, Dalton, and you saw it. She was 4-for-6 with 2 home runs mm-hmm. and 6 RBIs in those 2 games.
Yeah, she had she hit a 2-run home run before Terrell's walk-off home run. They went back-to-back to walk off the game.
Nice. Yeah, the 10-run rule. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Somebody said the other day, I hate saying walk-off when it's a 10-run rule thing.
I get it, yeah.
But it is technically, I guess, a walk-off. Whatever. Male Athlete of the Week. Wow, this is not his first time, Dalton. I need to go back and see how many times he's been Athlete of the Week. Jared Johnson, we talked about him earlier, the senior pitcher / shortstop / first baseman for Smithville. In game one of that 1A championship series against Stringer, he threw a complete game, 2-hitter, had 8 strikeouts, gave up 1 earned run. And then in game two, he did it with his bat, 3-for-4 with that solo home run in the 1-0 win to clinch the 1A title for the Seminoles. So congrats to Jared and to Sarah, and that is it for this episode of Prep Rally. We do thank y'all for joining us. Coming to you every Wednesday. You can find us on iTunes, any of your podcast apps, or online at preprally.djournal.com. We're on Twitter at djournalpreps. Dalton's on there at DLMiddleton8. I'm on there at Brad Locke. Are you going to be back for next Wednesday's show, Dalton? Are you still going to be on your little vacation?
Not sure yet. I'll be getting back into Mississippi on Tuesday, I think. So it just depends on how quickly I get back up here.
All right. Well, if not next week, then the next. We'll see y'all then. Thanks.